This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. I'm having trouble today, aren't I, with ladies. We've got Linda here and now Jules has gone walkabout.
Yeah, she has.
It's that smoothie of hers or whatever she's drinking.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. She's been on the bottle since 9 o'clock this morning. That's what it is, Lorraine. It is. Well, while we're waiting for Jules to put in an appearance and come back, I'm going to read you a couple of emails. I want to tell you about the Marsh Networking over Coffee. And there are the next two events of these are on the 2nd of October and the 6th of November. They both take place at the same... Oh, she's back. That's nice. They both take place at the same place at the same timings. Thank you. I'll let you off. She's made me coffee. So Marsh Networking over Coffee, 10 a.m. to 12 lunchtime, and they take place at the Sinkport Arms, which is in the High Street near Romney. And the next one is on the 2nd of October. If you want to book that or any of the other events that Terry does, they're run by Terry Botfield, if you go to marshnetwork.co.uk, or you could follow Terry on the Twitter, because he has my favourite Twitter handle of all time. His Twitter handle is TDBotty.
I know, I love that.
Yeah.
Chris Pollard involved with him.
Yes.
As well, down in Romney Marsh.
I need to get this right. Terry is the chair of the trustees of the Romney Resource Centre,
yeah.
And Chris is the chief executive.
I knew he was something important.
Cool.
There's something I need to read out here that Harry left on the Superior show, the Scoff and Quaff show, which is at 11 to 12 on Tuesday. There's an illustrated chat with a celebrity photographer, and I've seen his stuff. He's amazing. Dave King. It's on Sunday, the 6th of October. It's at St. Peter and St. Paul's Church in Yalding. That's the second shout out we've had for Yalding today.
Well, Harry lives in Yalding. That's why.
I know. But no, I read.
And Yalding's next to Marden, which is where.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I knew that.
She doesn't know anywhere in Kent.
No,
and what, if you really want to laugh with Jules.
I do know Whitstable.
If you really want to laugh with Jules, what you do is give her a list of villages in Kent and ask them to pronounce her.
Because
you end up with West Malin.
Yeah.
Egerton,
yeah.
Rotham,
yeah.
Yeah, and my all-time favourite, Trotters Cliff.
Yeah. Well, it's the way they're written. I mean, it's very Elizabethan. Anyway, Sunday the 6th of October, as I was saying before I was rudely interrupted by my co-presenter, Mr. Paul Andrews, St. Peter and St. Paul's Church in Yalding. Doors open 6 p.m. and it starts at 6:30. Tickets are on sale at Yalding Post Office or Village Tea Room. I love that. It's so rural, isn't it? You can get your ticket from Village Tea Room or Post Office in Yalding. Online tickets are available at www.ycpforpetersforsugar.org.uk. And tickets are only £8 a person. On the door, it's £10. Refreshments will be served at the end. So Dave, celebrity photographer Dave King, he will provide a highly entertaining and revealing talk about just some of his many amazing photographs and career in photography spanning 30 years. The chat will include some behind-the-scenes revelations as co-founder and organiser of the Vickers Picnic Music Festival. We expect this to be an amusing and fun event that will give an insight into Dave's life. Some of the pictures, Paul Andrews, he's done Dolly Parton.
Yeah, yeah.
He's done the Queen.
Yeah, yeah. I love the Vickers Picnic. Have you ever been?
No.
It's brilliant.
You've never invited me.
It's brilliant.
Who's that with glasses on?
I can't see. Oh, it's, what's his chops?
Is it?
Yeah, Ginger. What's his name? Come on, you know, Ginger.
Which one? Oh,
in the middle.
Isn't that Ed Sheeran?
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh,
Ed Sheeran.
Looks very,
Ginger.
I thought it was Robin Williams.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. You can't tell he's Ginger. They're black and white pictures. This is what threw me. Heston Blumenthal, various, but Dolly Parton and the Queen. I mean, you know, he's.
We had the Vicar's pick. I say we. Kenwood Trust.
Royal we.
Yeah. Kenwood Trust had, staged the Vicar's Picnic a couple of years ago. In the grounds there. It's brilliant.
I went with you once to a picnic where there was a play on in a lovely stately home.
Oh, yeah.
Shakespeare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was, Eastwell Manor. Yeah, that's when I was sponsoring the outdoor Shakespeare company.
Was it Eastwell Manor?
That one was
there's another one somewhere.
The outdoor Shakespeare company staged Shakespeare plays in the grounds during the summer.
That was fun.
During the grounds of stately homes and nice places. So they did Eastwell Manor, Boughton Montchelsea Place, Hever Castle, Bodiam Castle, stuff like that. I can't remember which one you came to. I thought it was
I had quite a few bottles of...
Yeah, you had before you even arrived. You were drunk. Yeah. You were drunk when you arrived and you heckled all the way through it.
I didn't sit on an ant's nest, which was the best thing, because normally at picnic I always get the ant's nest. Mm. I read, talking of castles, that Weston Hanger Castle has been bought by the council.
It has indeed.
What's the gossip?
Basically, they're building houses on the old Folkestone Racecourse. Was it 9,000 or something? And they're trying to preserve the castle, obviously, and the council bought it. I'm not sure why they bought it. It's being run as a wedding venue at the moment.
That's our friend there.
No, Sarah Paul, who used to run it as a wedding venue. She left there quite a while ago.
Did she?
And there was another company that taken on the lease that were also a wedding venue company. The council had bought the freehold of the castle from, I can't remember the chap's name. He's a lovely guy, but he's eccentric.
He's got a castle.
No, but his dad owns a huge civil engineering company, and he bought the castle for his son, and then his son lived in a container in the grounds.
Oh, no. Oh, so the son was pretty eccentric.
Yeah, but I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, but he's a fabulous carpenter, and they had this barn in the grounds, which had huge oak beams and oak struts and he was restoring it by hand.
I remember the barn.
Yeah, remaking all the beams, and he was doing such an absolutely amazing job. Anyway, the council have bought Weston Hanger Castle. They've finished off the restoration of the barn, which is becoming a venue for this, that and t'other. And the idea is that they're trying to preserve the castle within the bounds of being surrounded by a new housing estate.
Well, like I said earlier, girls, I don't think you were here, Linda. I didn't think you'd arrive.
We're going to keep digging this, you know.
But as I said to Lorraine, who was here on time, I drove past. I used to drop my son off at school and school run, but now I don't do that anymore because now I'm old. I don't have to do all that. Thank goodness. Those days.
And now he's seven. He can make his own life. She just gives him the car keys and goes, take yourself to school, Ian. It's a good boy.
But I drove past for the first time past Canterbury Cricket Ground, and there's like flats all around the border, and there's a Sainsbury's on there.
Yeah.
It's mad. Yeah. I mean, when is it going to stop?
But like so many things, the cricket club was struggling for money because they don't get the crowds that they used to, and paying professional sports people is expensive and yada yada yada. It was the only way they could preserve what they were doing was to sell off some of the ground and build flats on it.
It looks ghastly.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, needs must with things.
And I like what they're doing now. They're having concerts, like they've got a Freddie Mercury tribute on and stuff.
I would see there.
Tell me about that then.
No, well, they're not a concert venue, and they're not concert organisers. And
was it too loud for locals?
It wasn't. I don't know how it's doing now, and I might be maligning Emma, who's the commercial director there, who's a lovely lady and she's really clever. I know the first couple of concerts they had there were not commercial successes.
Okay.
Whether they've moved on from there, I don't know. Funny enough, just to show how well produced this show is and to bring everything together, they had a concert at a cricket ground, and I can't remember who it was. It was a well-known...
Simply Red.
It was Simply Red. Yeah. It was Simply Red. Yeah. They had Simply Red on the same night that Weston Hanger Castle had the Supremes.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, and they were both on the same night, so they both killed each other, basically. Mm. Yeah, no, you're right.
I've been there. I saw A-ha there.
Yeah.
And so why it wasn't buzzing?
Absolutely.
So why it wasn't buzzing? I liked it as a venue. But
As a place, it's fine.
It's great.
The first kind of couple of commercial goes at it weren't great successes by all accounts, but maybe they pulled that around, and I don't know. They've had to try to do different things in order to stay in business, and that's what we have to do. The Weston Hanger Castle is a completely different proposition. The council have sold off planning Folkestone. Permission to Folkestone Racecourse, which was daft in itself, not the council, Folkestone Racecourse was daft in itself, because horse racing has these really stupid rules that you can't have a racetrack within 100 miles of another racetrack that's open in the same time period.
Right. Why is that?
You tell me. It's probably some ancient rule from 9,000 years ago when everybody went by horse and cart. But that's the rules. And Folkestone, because it was out on a limb and a small one, was the one that always got shut down so that Lingfield Park and all the others that are within 100 miles could open. So it was only open 4 or 5 days a year. And that was just daft. But
and because this show is so well produced and we're talking about Kent cricket, Diamond Circle Weddings, who are listening avidly, have said, Jules Serkin, no mention of you, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Polly and me, so is that Paul?
Paul and Polly,
okay,
yeah.
Paul and Polly are exhibiting at the cricket ground on Sunday the 6th of October. Weddings, Bee Bunker, Vanilla Web. Oh, they do mention you just at the end, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine.
So, yeah, it's come nice in a circle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've staged events there. And also, I've chaired the Digital in Ghent event every year.
I used to go there for things. Yeah,
yeah. So there's lots of events there. That's not an issue. It's just the concerts. I happen to know that the first couple I did didn't work out commercially. I mean, they were great concerts. I'm not saying the concert was bad, but commercially it didn't really work that well for them.
That because they didn't get the footfall, or was it because they paid too much for the singers?
I don't know. I don't know for sure. I'm just talking about things I heard. So I don't know for sure. I suspect that because they clashed with another thing, it wasn't as full as they expect. You know, with things like that, what you do is you work out the costs and you work out the ticket price, and then you hope that you get enough people to cover the costs.
Certainly it's easy to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that they made these mistakes, because I just don't know. But when people that aren't experienced in staging concerts, you know, you see this so often. People look at Glastonbury or whatever and they go, whoa, they made millions, yeah? Yeah. And all they had was a field. Yeah. Yeah. It's not that simple. It's not that simple to make money out of a concert. It really isn't. And you've got all the contractual obligations, and people will turn up and demand money for appearing that you've got to pay no matter what. I mean,
and you've got to get the facilities right. And certainly if it's a field, you've got to hire all the toilets and everything else.
And there's so much going on now, isn't there?
Yeah.
But also,
and that's the key thing, is that you stage a concert and then 10 miles down the road, somebody else has staged a concert on the same night, and then you're both dead in the water.
But don't you think, with talking about cricket and horse racing, don't you think that we're all just much, much, much busier now with our lives? And I mean, I know when I get an invitation, I think, oh my goodness, you know, I really want to stay in and put my feet up.
Yeah.
I am old, I know.
But this is why those businesses have generated towards TV, and a lot of people moan. We just had the most amazing cricket match ever in the Ashes take place, and loads of people are moaning that it wasn't free to air. But you can't have everything for nothing all the time. You know, people need to get paid, people need to do things, and if you're not going to go and pay a ticket to watch a sporting event, then the only way they can make money is by selling it to TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things, and, you know... And the other side of that, of course, is if you look at something like women's football. Women's football has taken off purely because more people have access to it via TV. Yeah, they televise the Women's World Cup and stuff like that, and it's becoming popular. And the only way that women will earn money playing sport like that is if it becomes popular. And the only way it can become popular is if it gets a lot of promotion. So there we go. We've DC Weddings are on your case now as well, because they sent another one with a GIF. They said... if nothing got stolen, we'd never need insurance, talking about your cat. And does Jules drive a Mercedes sports car? No wonder there was a struggle to get the family in, and they put a picture up of a Petronas F1 car.
Yeah, well, yeah. Tell them. It takes me an hour to get my mum in with her false hip.
Yeah.
I've got a metal knee, so it takes me another hour to get in. Then the dog had to sit on my mum's. We were wedged. It was awful. And I actually did tweet the... you know, the insurance company, because it was their mess up, because I had ordered a bigger car. And I'll find a picture of us squeezing in. So you think you're going to go in your CRV, which is huge, and you know got all the room all the way to Wales.
Mm. I mean, long
we could
way.
We could barely get out for a pit stop because we were wedged in, and we thought, you know, should we stop for a toilet stop? Oh no, we'll never get back in again. You know? And the dog was literally piled on my mum, you know, on her bed. So not pleasant.
There you go. I have been three up on an F3 car.
You've been what?
Three up on an F3 car.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
No, it's strictly not allowed. But we were coming back. I used to own a motor racing team, and the car broke down at the furthest point of the track that it could possibly be. And we all went over there to try and get it going again, and we eventually just got it going so that we could drive it back. And I thought, well, I'm not walking. So I climbed on the back on the engine cowling, and then our chief engineer sat on the hoop, and we drove back slowly with all the marshals screaming at us and waving flags at us and going, you can't do that.
This was in the day of Fred Flintstone, of course.
I know what his car was like.
Anyway, we've had a tweet from Fritbowl Media, and they say, hello, Jules Sirkin. Well, I'm talking to you. Yeah. Hello, Jules Sirkin and Vanilla Web. Pleased to be sponsors and exhibitors at the Tech Expo UK on the 26th and 9th at the Kent Event Centre. Can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? See us on stand B12. That's a vitamin, isn't it?
Yeah, B12 is what I take every night for my thyroid.
Is it? Yeah.
It's essential.
See, I think they're just trying to get you to mention thyroids is what they were doing there,
Jules. I have to take it. It must be taken 4 hours aside from my thyroid medicine, which is a natural one, Naturethroid. So, yeah, I have to take it last thing at night. I've got them by my bed.
Well, there you go. So if you go and visit Fruit Bowl Media at the Tech Expo, not only do you get to talk to them about web design, social media marketing, and radio studio hire and podcasting, you get your thyroid fixed as well because
exactly.
They're on B12.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep them by your bed, that's what I say.
Yeah.
Last thing at night.
What you got?
I've got... I thought you were going to nod off then. I heard you...
Yeah, I'm getting bored with you.
I know. You know what it is? It's cold in here.
Stop moaning about it being cold.
It's been
cold for the last nine years. It's going to stay cold.
I'm telling you, I'm building an igloo next time. So the Kent...
Tiger nut porridge.
That's what I have, yeah.
I know, I just read your tweet about tiger nut porridge.
Really
what
nice.
Are you going on about?
Oh, it's Tazy. It's Tracy Ferguson who was asking me what my smoothie had in it. I had to give her the whole... that's why I wasn't really concentrating on what you were saying. She wanted the recipe. Celery. If you scroll back, you'll see celery and all sorts of cucumber. All Riverford organic, of course. The Kent and Medway Business Fund... offer
somebody's just sent me the accounts for the Glastonbury Festival.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
Who is that?
DC Weddings have just sent a copy of the accounts for the Glastonbury Festival. I'll have a read of that later.
Oh, I will. We could put our own. You've got a big enough garden. You could put one on. The Kent and Medway, I keep saying this, you know, look, Lorraine. This is the third time I've attempted to read this from a very, very important person. The Kent and Medway Business Fund offers 0% loans between £50,000 and £500,000 to small and medium-sized businesses in Ashford, Canterbury, Dartford, Dover, Folkestone and Hythe, Gravesham, Maidstone, Medway, Sevenoaks, Swale, Thanet, Tunbridge, Malling,
Moulin
and Tunbridge Wells. I know all those places.
Yeah.
Pre-applications are now welcome. Check out this link for more. You can go on to 3Ws. Have you got it on your website? It's much easier.
What's this?
The Kent and Medway Business Fund offer loans. Have you got that on your
website? No, it's not. So okay, you'll have to read it out.
It's 3Ws. How long have you got? kent.gov.uk/business/business-loans-and-funding.
If you go to the kentgov.uk website, and search business, you can find it. It's all there.
Which reminds me, because Farmer Charles Tassel, when he was on the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, you'll have to listen, Lorraine, was talking about the leader loans as well. Leader loans for rural businesses.
Yeah,
very important.
There's low-case loans as well for eco-businesses and green businesses. There's a lot of public money slushing around the system. What you've got to do is find the right one for you. And a lot of it, which people don't realise, is match funded. So if you want a grant of 20,000, you have to have 20,000 to start with to match fund it.
But
there's also grants and loans.
It's also, I think, worth finding someone that knows about it who can just spend 20 minutes sorting it out for you. Because there's always a lot of paperwork.
Depending on what kind of thing you're going for, depends on what you have to do, what hoops you have to jump through, and what things you have to say and do. A lot of people are put off going for these things because when they read the website at KCC, it looks onerous, but it actually isn't. And, you know, you just have to go with the flow, you know.
Doesn't Roger do it? Roger Keach?
Roger Keach from Let's Do Business will help you with it. Brian Hall will help you with Locase.
Bill Fox.
So there's lots of people around that help with the different schemes. What you need to do is find the schemes and find the one that's right for you.
Yeah.
Once you've found the one that's right for you, then you go to someone like Roger or Brian or Bill or whatever and ask them for their help in order to get you on the scheme. So
in fact, Martin White also knows about a few of them, doesn't he?
Yeah,
the lovely
I'll supply
White.
My business. There's money about and there's grants and there's schemes and there's loans and there's all kinds of things about to get businesses up and running.
Did you know, Paul Andrews, that Fruitworks Community Workspace is expanding?
I did know.
Perhaps to do with the sausage roll intake.
Thank you. She's giving this away, isn't she? Yeah.
And Fruitworks Community Workspace say we have easy access, no long-term commitment for hot desking, fixed desk and small private office available, space available in the expanded Fruitworks in Canterbury. You can just email hello@fruitworks.co. No UK there.
Just.co.
Hello@fruitworks.co. Very simple for details. And the website is fruitworks.co. I need to speak to them. Have you still got your lovely man there?
Tony. Yeah.
He's been there for years.
Yeah.
I need to speak to him. I have had a real kerfuffle with my thing. I'll give him a ring.
We've taken over the building next door.
Which was the... Which one?
No, the other way.
Oh, the other way. Okay.
Yeah. English Heritage.
Do you still have space for Ibiza Fitness Food for their hub? They want the hub.
Nope. No, because what they do is not. We're not allowed to because of the planning restrictions.
No, I know. We'll talk about it after. Yeah. They don't need to cook there. They just need it as a hub to people to come and collect the food.
Yeah, but it's councils. Councils don't let you do anything.
I know. It used to be a restaurant there, though.
Yeah, upstairs. Yeah, we got that changed to B1. But we've had a laugh in the last few weeks. We've had two leaks in the last few weeks.
I love a leak, though, especially in a soup. It's always really, really nice.
Well, the first leak through the ceiling was a bit of a laugh. It was beer.
No.
Yeah.
Where was that coming from? A barrel?
From next door, from...
From
the foundry.
The foundry.
They brewed like 18,000 gallons of beer or something, and instead of putting it into the barrels, they put it into the exhaust, and it went up onto the roof, collected on the roof. The roof gave in under the weight, and it all just poured through into our building.
So did Tony so just lie underneath?
We had 120 members all lying on the floor going... But the problem was, once we cleared up the mess, the smell was unbelievable.
Hops.
For weeks. Yeah. So we just got that fixed, and then bank holiday weekend, Tony rang me and said there's water pouring through the ceiling through the light fittings. So we all pile over there at the bank holiday, and there's water coming through the ceiling. We had to rip down all the ceiling, only to find it was the pipe work from next door that had the leak, and it was just coming along under the floorboards and dripping in through.
And is this the same next door?
No.
This is the other next door?
The other next door, the other way, yeah.
Oh, no. Ask Tony if I can ring him.
Yeah,
I've got another little thing.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah.
I know you want to talk to Lorraine, don't you?
I really want to talk to Lorraine. She's been so patient. She's been sitting there so patiently listening to this rubbish.
And while we were waiting for Linda.
Yeah. And we were all sitting here twiddling our thumbs and doing some knitting and stuff, going, well, Linda will be here soon. You know.
A little bit of macrame, you know. Dots, you know, join
yeah,
the
Yeah, I crocheted a whole bobble hat for my grandson while we were waiting. Yeah.
I've done a couple of scarves.
Yeah.
Do you train apprentices?
Yeah.
You're invited, Paul Andrews, to the first Kent and Medway apprenticeship graduation ceremony on the 4th of October at the amazing Rochester Cathedral. You can book now. There's only 200 places. You can go to eventbrite.co.uk /e-business-reception-pre-graduation ceremony for apprentices. I'm sure all details will be on the Kent Business Radio after the show.
They will. I am going.
Are you?
Yeah.
Don't tell me you're chairing it.
I am hosting it.
He goes to the opening of an envelope.
I do. But we're really keen on this. It's going to be really good fun because we're recognising graduates that came that graduated through the apprentice route. So they're level 5, 6, and 7 apprentices that have won a degree through an apprenticeship rather than through the traditional university. But we're staging a graduation ceremony with mortarboards and capes and all the paraphernalia that normally goes with a university degree. Yeah, so it's great. Lovely. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be good fun. Yeah. October the 4th. You can do one more and then I'm going to talk to Lorraine.
How kind of you. Well, there's a Marsh Breakfast Networking, which is, there are a few actually. It's, the first one is the 26th of September this month, then the 24th of October, then the 28th of November. So they're all diary dates. You can go at 7.45 and it finishes around 9.15, though if I go, it normally goes on to about lunchtime. And then I can just roll it over. The Ship Inn, which is at 118 High Street in Dimchurch, and the sat nav if you're driving is T for Tiger, N for Norman, 29 ONS. And you can go to marshnetwork.co.uk.
And that's T for Pterodactyl.
Yeah.
N for Knowledge.
Yeah. Fruit Bowl Media is offering podcast studio hire, audio content creation, and radio media training, as well as host presenter experiences and packages. You can find all details by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/studio. No doubt Paul Andrews will be giving a little lesson. Will you?
In what?
In media training and hosting and presenter experience.
Possibly. Yeah. Possibly.
I mean, you taught me everything I know about.
No, I didn't, because you didn't listen to any of it.
I tried really hard.
I've done 5 training courses and you didn't listen to a single word I said. And the next week she rings me up and she goes, which button was it again?
No, I actually got on better when you were away in France. It was all like a dream.
I set it up for
everything you. Everything worked.
I know, I set it all up for you, so it worked.
Mind you, I squeaked when I saw your playlist with all those things on.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a bit scary.
When she says it worked, what actually happened, the reality is she finished 10 minutes early and then just played all of my adverts and all of my news things all in one big blob at the end.
Because I had some really interesting guests in the studio. I thought, oh, I've done like 4 hours now. I've done the Scoff and Quaffter, I did the bunker, finished 10 minutes early, chatted with them, put some nice little jingles on.
Anyway, do you know what? I'm going to talk to somebody sensible at long last. We're going to talk to somebody sensible and try and make something of the shambles of this show.
I know.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show for the very first time the lovely and very patient Lorraine Fuller from D&D Autos here in Ashford. Lorraine, welcome to the show.
Hello, Paul.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us and putting up with all the nonsense you've had to put up with so far today.
Experience.
Yeah, I'm sure. You have been on the radio before, I think.
I have. We did, with Webbo over on Radio
Ashford.
Yes, indeed.
Yep. Above the pawn shop there.
Thus. It was. I don't think it is anymore, but yes.
Have they stopped with the pawn, have they?
I think they have now, yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to ask now. Anyway, enough of that. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off, Lorraine, by telling us a little bit about D&D Autos first. Mm-hmm. So it's been around a long time, established by your father, I think.
By my dad, yeah. Derek Pestridge, in 1983, 36 years ago. So, you know, obviously I know you specialise small startups. Yeah, that's clearly what he was. Yeah. Mechanic by trade. Victoria Road in Ashford.
Right, yeah, you know it, yeah.
Hang on, stop. I need to know the Twitter handle, please, because I'm videoing you.
That's my DD Autos.
Your DD Autos.
At DD Autos, yeah. You can carry on there.
Yeah.
Oh, I can carry on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, where was I?
Yeah, so you were saying your dad started in Victoria Road.
Yeah, yeah. So mechanic by trade, just obviously basically decided he wanted to do better, thought he could by going it alone. Mm. Did start out as a partnership.
Right.
D&D Autos, so it stands for Derek and Dave.
What he did there.
He was Derek or Dave?
Derek.
He was Derek. Who was Dave? His original partner.
Obviously, long story.
Do you see how she swept over the original partner, though? Then?
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, we're getting that, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of...
Derek and Clive Cars.
that's where he was.
And you're still in Victoria Road?
Not anymore. So we moved premises in 2009 to purpose-built premises on Orbital Park. So just off Junction 10
now. It's just I drive up Victoria Road a lot, and I could have sworn that I'd seen Dean Dawn. Maybe the sign's still there.
we moved to Orbital Park in 2009, and we reopened the MOT part of the building, MOT Express Ashford, for 3-4 years.
Right.
And then decided to focus all energies on Orbital Park. So so we do still occupy those premises, or we own them. Yeah.
Right.
But no, we don't operate out of the building.
Okay.
Anymore.
But you've got the premises there.
We've
still
got the premises.
That's
there.
Probably why, because you've probably still got the sign up, have you?
I don't think there is. MOT Express is still up there. Yeah.
It's just I kind of, as I drive past it, I kind of recognise it. But anyway, you're on Orbital Park.
So on Orbital Park now, So I've been there for 10 years, when I started with the business. But obviously the business itself, set up by Dad, started by Dad.
Yeah.
Mum, I was saying, Mum obviously always been there, side. I've got two younger brothers.
Okay, so have you taken, has your dad retired now, or is he still involved with the business?
I hope he's listening, because he knows I'm going to be laughing at this, and so will my brothers if they're listening. My dad, I'm sure he won't mind me saying, is 68.
And so he's young.
So he's young. He's contemplating, I hope I've just got his age right, actually.
Hopefully you've underplayed it.
He's contemplating retiring,
Don't do it, Derek. Don't let him shift you out, mate. Yeah. We're still young. We've got it.
It's resistant to go, I think. Yeah. It's still lovely having him there. You know, I've only been with the business, as say, it's in my infancy, 10 years.
Right.
But both my brothers have been there sort of 20 plus years. So,
So they they do all the tinkering, don't they, your brothers?
So one of my brothers followed in my dad's footsteps, a technician by trade. So I was saying to Paul earlier that he's really sort of followed in my dad's footsteps, and obviously the car industry, the motor industry, versus what it was 20 years ago, very different, even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So that headache is now my brother Matthew. And then my other brother very much is front of house.
Right.
So manages workload and that bit between getting work done and talking to the customer, keeping the customer happy.
Right, let's kind of dissect this now. You don't sell cars?
No.
No, you service MOT?
Service MOT repair. We don't do bodyworks either.
Okay. Cool. And you're right, car maintenance has radically changed over the years now. Mm-hmm. These days, half the cars, you just plug a computer in and see what it says before you can do anything.
You do, full code reads, which is what you'll find your dealers will tell. Full code reads,
So it has become a very technical kind of profession these
days,
hasn't it?
Which is really hard to sell to the or explain to customers.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't, it's not always black and white.
Yeah.
You know, when you hand them a bill, it's not always black and white around what they've got for their money.
Yeah, so, sure. Yeah. You know, because back in the day you went, no, I changed your widget. Yeah. And here's the one I took out, and here's the packet and the one I put in. Yeah. And it's not quite like that anymore, is it?
No, not at all. So, so you have to talk to the many computers that are on vehicles now.
Yeah.
And even service books, it's all online.
Yeah. And indeed, MOTs, you know, somebody said to me the other day a while back, said to me, where's the MOT certificate? I don't know. I've got a certificate. It's online.
Exactly.
Well, it's like the tax thing now, taxation. I find that a little bit difficult because you don't really get a reminder now, do you? Or do you?
You get a reminder.
How do you? Not in the post?
You get a reminder in the post.
I think my new husband must be hiding them.
No, you do, because I got one the other day.
Really?
We still get them.
And then you go online to buy it, and that's the difference.
Online.
Yeah, instead of queuing up at the post office and getting a little disc, you just buy it. What throws people is there's nothing visible that you've actually paid for it, and a lot of people go, "Oh, I don't know if I got this or not." But you get a confirmation email, and you know when the cops pull you over and go, "You haven't got," you show them the email because. AMPR, which is what they use to do it, is a bit of a laugh because I got trapped in a car park the other day that had AMPR cameras. It let me in. I paid my money. It wouldn't let me out.
No.
Yeah. And I had to phone up and they went, "No, mate." I said, "No. Is your number plate dirty?" "No."
I had a barrier the other day. Practically came down on me at Goral Tank. I was going to the market every Thursday, Whitstable Market. Fabulous eggs. Tray of eggs, £5 from June. And it literally, as I, the car in front went through and, the barrier went up, and then it went down or was going down, and then I moved forward and it sort of went up and ponked down on my bonnet.
It was having a go at you.
It was quite dicey.
Anyway, so let's step through the range of things you do. So you do servicing.
Servicing, yeah. MOTs.
MOTs, repairs.
Catalytic converters.
Catalytic converters, if you happen to lose one, yeah.
Yeah,
we'll get you one. And
I didn't lose it, you know.
Or if you get one stolen, then we will replace it.
And do you specialise in particular marks of cars, or will you do any car?
We are multi-brand.
Yeah.
But we do specialise Volkswagen, Audi, Seat, Land Rover, Jaguar.
Right.
It's quite a vast range.
Can be present its challenges.
Yeah.
One of the things that certainly my brother prides himself, or we pride ourselves as a business, we keep up with technology.
Yeah.
So we were talking earlier about sort of dealership and the prices that they can charge.
Yeah.
You know, we are sort of a sizable independent garage in Kent, and we, you know, invest heavily in that equipment. So it's an alternative. A more affordable alternative to your local dealer.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because the technology has kind of worked in favour of something sometimes as well. Because back in the day, a lot of people would have a car serviced by a main dealer because they go, you know, they're the main dealer and they know what they're doing. But, of course, the fact is now that everybody knows what they're doing because it's a preset set of things, isn't it? It's a computerised set of things, and as long as you've got the right programmes, which you obviously have in order to service a Volkswagen, you don't have to be a Volkswagen dealer to service a Volkswagen.
No, the issue is around people and going to a dealer if you've got a new vehicle. Thinking you're going to lose your warranty if you don't have it serviced, which is not necessarily true.
Yeah, exactly. The only downside is if you got a lease car, and as part of the lease, they insist that you have it serviced by them.
Exactly. Which we were talking earlier about your vehicle and
my little Porsche.
Was it about your vehicle and about your insurance company not having it? So we find that sometimes with lease companies, but more often than not, you know, lease companies can be fairly flexible. They'll assess who you want to take it
to. That's what I'm thinking now. When I was paying for my car, my sports car, I had to go to the main dealer. That was part of the whole thing. But now I've paid for it, I can go wherever I want. I might come see you.
It's a little bit far, maybe.
Yeah, but we could have lunch after, you see.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Nice.
While the boys are working on it, we can trot off. Yeah.
So, Lorraine, the business has been going 36 years, as you say. It's a family business. You and your brothers and your dad all still work in the business.
And my mum. Mum always gets forgotten, but she's quite happy to sort of sit behind the scenes. But,
So it really, truly is a family business.
Yeah, five of us.
And you've recently won an award.
We did,
so why don't you tell us about that?
So we won the Manufacturing and Engineering category in the National Family Business Awards.
Wow.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, so there were 10 of us in the category. Have to be honest, it was completely, you know, you looked at the companies that were sort of, you know, aligned there.
Yeah.
And
it was a national award.
It was a national award,
Who were the runners of the award? Who did the award?
It's a company called National Family Business Place.
Wow.
Which I think we came about...
Anita.
Anita Hodges.
Yeah. Anita Hodges, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So brilliant. So Bing obviously going 10 years. Herself and her, obviously that's all family run, her daughters.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, guess who's watching you on the video? David R. Fuller. Fuller. That must be one of yours, isn't it?
I don't know who that is.
Well, it's, isn't it David R. Fuller? Isn't your surname Fuller?
It is, yeah. But I don't know who that is.
There are other people in the world called Fuller.
Well, I suppose so.
It was unfortunately not all the family could attend the awards, so myself and my husband attended. And
were the rest all working on cars at the time?
Probably, but extra time.
No, they couldn't get there because the car wasn't working. The car was off the road at the time. No, sorry.
But so it was the first award up.
When did it happen, Rain, and where was it?
That was 13th of July at Wembley Stadium.
Wow, okay.
Wow, huge.
It was lovely. And you looked at all the other amazing family businesses.
And when you went, did you know you'd won?
No.
Was it a surprise?
It was.
And did you whoop?
Well, I really had not thought we were going to win at all. And so it was the first award up, and there was a bronze and a silver, and then obviously the winner. And so they had three bullet points, obviously from the entry that you'd put in. And the first bullet point came up and I thought, that doesn't sound like us. And then the second was about personal service, but a lot of businesses talk about we offer personal service. And then the third point was something that we've used in our marketing for a while, which is affordable servicing. And to be to this day, it's still a blur. And I'm waiting for them to do the video so I can look back just so you can remind yourself of what was said. And yeah, and it was like when it came up there, but and I just put my head in the back of my husband's back going, I think we've won. And so, yeah, first awards up there, collected it. And we've won many awards sort of over the last 10 years, yeah. Customer service, business of the year, the local Kent and Victor Chamber Awards, okay. Garage of the year, top technician, runner up. And so it was the, you know, my dad's had many awards prepared just in case someone had said, do you want to say a few words? And so anyway, so I'm about to walk off and then Anita's daughter said, shall I say a few words? So I hadn't, because I'd put it out of my mind, is there no way we are going to win this award? If you want to look on our Facebook page, you'll see.
You waffled your way through it, didn't you, Lorraine?
I'm not normally, like, I like to be prepared, but I did sort of, yeah, off the cuff, produce some lovely words, I believe, so which you can see on Facebook fantastic. If you'd like to see them. So, yeah, it was amazing. It was brilliant. It's such a shame sort of, we weren't all there, but it was fantastic.
This is a tough question, I guess. But what do you think it was that got you that award? Because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of family businesses out there. And was it in a category four garages?
No, see, that was the challenge because as I've said, we've already sort of entered customer service awards, business of the year awards, a garage of the year. We'd never entered a family award thing.
Right.
And so the form was quite complicated, the way you had to put submit into it.
I know it's a horrible question, but what do you think it was that caused your family business to stand out over the other family businesses?
It's interesting because I printed out sort of my entry and I was sort of reading through it this morning. And I think it is just if I'm honest, I think it's the real heartfelt around, you know, we're a second generation business, how long we've been going for, the history behind the family, what it is that we try to do. You know, I'd like to think we are seen as the go-to garage in the Ashford area, that when you get other people, other customers, you know, can't get a resolve on their cars because cars, you know, are more challenging to repair. And also that level of experience as someone who can actually pick out, well, this is what the issue is, rather than throwing things at it.
Yeah.
You often hear nowadays with modern technology of customers and people that have cars and they go wrong and they keep taking it back to the garage and they go, they just can't find what's wrong with it. You know, they put it through everything and they can't find. And I'm sure it's like because of the modernness and of the technology.
Yeah, it can be. It's
experience as well. Because again, you know, I touch on the fact that we're multi-brand. So, you know, not unlike a dealership that might be, you know, one brand, you don't always see a regular influx of that same issue. So it's a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Experience.
So it's a great thing to be recognised for something like that, though. And you all, as a family, must be very proud of that, and quite rightly so.
Yeah.
Where do you go from here? That's the key thing, isn't it? How do you move on from there?
Well, we have sights on, so we touched on vehicle sales. We are contemplating, you know, because we have that reputation. Again, not an easy market to necessarily get into. Just keeping up with technology, really. You've got hybrids, you've got the electrics we haven't spoke about. Where do we go with those?
Yeah. So
tell us, tell.
Yeah. So
when are you getting an electric car?
That's a question for my brother.
I did look very heavily at an electric car. For me, it's one of those things that I'm still waiting to see what happens next. There's a lot of movement towards electric cars, and most manufacturers now have at least a hybrid offering. I was very close to buying a Tesla, and then Porsche came out and announced a concept car, which was called Mission E, and the look of it was absolutely fantastic, and I'm thinking, what are they going to charge for this? And the price that they had mooted for it was £95,000, which actually is competitive with a Tesla. And then So I thought, do you know what, I might, because it was due out in 2020, and I thought, well, I might hang on for that. Aston Martin have just announced an Elysia or whatever it's called, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, and it's a hybrid, and I'm thinking, wow, look at that. I need that. And then they're, what, 1.2 million quid each?
That's a house.
Yeah, you're going, yeah, wow. Right, yeah.
I think you can buy a castle for that.
Again. Yeah, yeah.
Probably
quite
easily.
And so I'm thinking, yeah, no, maybe not.
Wait a little bit.
Yeah. But Porsche now have now announced what they've called the Taycan, which is their electric car. But it isn't the same car that they announced as a Mission E. It's slightly different. It doesn't look quite the same. But it is a full electric car. But for me, the technology is still too unpredictable, basically.
Certainly with electrics.
I'm waiting for a solar power one.
Yeah. Well, certainly with electrics, you know, hybrids, we've got trained technicians in hybrids.
Right,
so,
okay.
You know, you can come and service your vehicle with us there. But we're obviously finding a lot of them are still going back to the dealers. But, yeah, certainly electrics is, I think you're right.
You're finding the plug-ins more now as you go around. And certainly I went up to Wales recently crammed in the car, and there were electric points in little hotels and pubs, and that had electric points everywhere. I was really impressed with Wales, very eco-friendly. So it's getting easier.
It is, yeah. I think, because to be fair, I think my dad's contemplated, you know, an electric car, but it's a real change to your mindset around, you know, if you do a long journey, where you're going to stop, where you're going to, get in, and you've got to plan a bit better around it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's still a long way to go, I think.
Yeah, there is. And it depends on how your usage of a car.
Yes.
You know, I do a lot of miles, but I should be a classic electric car user, because I do a lot of miles, but in short, you know, 20, 50, 60, I drive around Kent. So that's not too bad. You know, if you drive any distance, the problem is that you're going to run out of juice after 200, 250 miles. Mm. And the problem is the recharge time.
Yes.
And I think that's what everyone's working on, is quick recharge batteries, you know, where you can top them up really quickly.
Yeah.
Lorraine, we could talk about this forever, but sadly we've run out of time. If people want to find out more about D&D Autos, what's the best way to do that?
Probably check us out on our website, which is www.ddautosashford.co.uk.
Fantastic. Lorraine, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Huge congratulations to the whole family on winning a very well-deserved award.
And to the team as well, because obviously it might be a family affair, but it's everyone at D&D over the last 36 years that's got us to where we are.
So, absolutely, yeah. And quite right too. Absolutely.
Lots of biscuits and coffee going on there.
I
like making cakes. They like my cakes. Ooh. So, you know, now and again, yeah.
Lemon drizzle cake. Don't get anywhere nearer with lemon drizzle cake.
It's my one weakness.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much for that, Lorraine.
Thank you for having me.
I want you to read an email very quickly, Jules, for Tech Expo, while I just find out why I've been tweeted what I've just been tweeted.
Okay, Tech Expo. Tech Expo, the Kent Event Centre Detling, is on Thursday the 26th of September. It's a one-day exhibition and seminar bringing together industry experts to help business owners to understand what technology is out there and how it can help them run, build and grow their business more effectively and efficiently. We have one of the world's top technology companies, Microsoft, providing our keynote seminar, and they will be sharing with us how they're working to support businesses of all sizes. We're also looking at one of the biggest fears we all have, which is staying human in a digital world. So some of the speakers are Brian Sutton from Microsoft, Richard Bell, CTO of 10 Intelligence, Cyber Security. Ben Abbott, CEO of Maximum Media, who will be talking about getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth from Child and Child Digital Law. Bill Burton from Dale Carnegie, Being Human in a Digital World. There will also be workshops. Aaron Taylor, the CEO of 62 Tech, who talks about stopping the sales pitch and start the conversation. The lovely Mike Hacker, who we all know and love, of Prisma Broadcast, how the proper use of video can propel your business forward. Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, who's going to talk about having an adaptable content strategy plan. Go to techexpouk.com.
Thank you very much. I've had a tweet from Roger Keach. Oh, and it's just disappeared. Oh, where's it gone?
Come on, find it.
I just saw it. It's just gone. Yeah, Roger was saying that hold on.
I'll try.
Typical.
And find it.
I've got it.
Have you?
Yeah, read it out.
We use D&D Autos regularly, and only an hour ago, my wife was there to book my next MOTN service. She also asked about levels on her car and immediately was checked and reassured. Thanks, Lorraine.
Oh, I
will take all the credit for that. Thank you very much.
Oh, who was that from?
Roger Keach.
Oh, right. Okay. Well done, Roger. Thanks.
I don't know why it disappeared. It came up on my phone. I was just about to read it out and it disappeared. And I don't know. I can't find it again. But thank you for reading that, Lorraine. You've got a job. And Diamond Circle Weddings has sent you
the full Fruit Bowl Media. Well, you can send it to me, but whether I'll do it or not.
Hold on.
I'll try.
Typical.
I've got it.
Have you?
Yeah, read it out.
So I want to say a huge thank you to both our guests, the lovely Linda Cloak from My Zones. Thank you for today. Lorraine Fuller from D&D Autos here in Ashford. Thank you so much for being on the show. She's back. She's back on Friday with the Business Bunker Extra Show, having been away for August. So do join Amanda and the crew for the Business Bunker Extra Show at 11 a.m. here on bizradio.co.uk. This week her guest is Bruce Kidd of Oasis, and her co-host is the lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes. So that's 11 o'clock here on Biz Radio. Do join in with that. But we've reached the end of another show. So thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We'll be back next Tuesday with another show. Have a fantastic week, everybody. And we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye, bye, bye.
Thank you, bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.